That was good. You did well. You're going to have a seat tonight. We might do that the next couple weeks. Maybe we'll do that for a couple more weeks. And so maybe you'll come to church with a song number and name in mind. And, you know, if you give a kid $1 for ice cream money or $5, whatever it takes for ice cream now, to be quick, the kids will be going to be sitting right up here on the front the next couple weeks, ready to bring those hymn numbers, I'm sure. But maybe we'll do that for a couple weeks, and a little friendly competition never hurt anybody too much, I don't think. But something fun for us to do. If you would, have your Bible ready and open, get ready to open to a number of places over the next few minutes. And you have tonight's lesson sheet. Make sure it says lesson two. I tried to differentiate. Now, last week, summer is an interesting time because we have a lot of people traveling from week to week. We have some that just came back this week from a couple weeks or a week or two of travel, and that's good. And we have some that are gone this week. So sometimes some stability and consistency is difficult as we're walking through a particular study. But last week's lesson and this week's lesson and next week's lesson all kind of build on each other. And so I encourage you, that's why I gave a lot more kind of notes maybe than normal, so that you can pick up last week's lesson if you weren't here, and you can read through that this week, kind of follow along, and those that were here and can't be here tonight can kind of follow along, because they kind of build one on the other. But make sure you have one that says lesson two. If you don't, there's still some at the Welcome Center. I did put out last week's notes because we had that kind of sudden storm that kind of changed the dynamic of our evening service. So if you weren't able to be here, you can pick up last week's notes. And for those watching online, if you have already commented about being on vacation or whatever it may be, and they're watching online tonight, you can find tonight's notes and follow along on online. If you go to our Connect page and then tonight's sermon notes, you'll see those there and be able to follow along as well. So you have lesson two tonight, and it is this concept of praying Scripture. And we introduced kind of the concept or the thought last week. It's not novel or new with me. It's not something even really developed by humankind, like we've unlocked the code or the mystical formula for praying. It's not about that. It's just something practical. We walk through God's Word, and we study line by line through Scripture. And then every now and then we just find something that may be helpful to us and something to assist in our Christian lives. And that's really what we're focused on last week and the next couple weeks. This is just something to assist. I can't take you to a place in Scripture. I've looked. I can't take you to a place in Scripture where there's a command to pray through Scripture in the form that we are praying or looking at the last couple weeks. But I think that it's helpful because last week, you know, we established sort of the principle of it. And not just the principle, but the scriptural precedent of it. We saw even from the Old Testament, there's prayers written in the Old Testament. We saw from the Old Testament that there was people that opened the book and literally sang or prayed the Scriptures themselves. The book of Psalms literally is the book of praises. It's prayers and songs written to the Lord. And then we looked at the New Testament, and particularly at the example of Jesus Christ. We said even on the cross in Matthew 27, Jesus prays out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's literally quoting the psalm. He is speaking, praying Scripture to the Lord, even in a moment of his distress and even in the moment of his torture physically, his sacrifice. Then we looked at the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says that Jesus began to teach them to pray. He also teaches them in Luke the same form, almost verbatim, the same prayer. And it says that in Luke, it says that the disciples asked him, how should we pray? And then in Matthew 6, he's teaching a sermon on a number of things. He's talking about prayer, teaching about prayer. He says, don't use vain repetitions, but when you pray, pray this. And he says, our Father which art in heaven. And then we know the rest of the prayers he walks through. And we looked at it. We gave you in those notes are on the back, that phrase by phrase, line by line, that the Lord's example prayer for us, we showed you how it is literally formed by the very words of the Old Testament. It's not verbatim. It's not that he's praying from a particular passage of Scripture, repeating a prayer, but to have everything in Christ's prayer to the Lord as an example to teach us. Everything in his prayer was constructed from the concept or quotes of Scripture itself. And so he established that, and we looked at it. We examined the thought and the process of praying Scripture. And we talked about what is prayer in general, just for review. What is prayer? That as the Bible teaches it, in its simplest kind of form or definition, that prayer all over Scripture is presented this way. It is talking and communicating in direct address with God. We said that there's nowhere in Scripture where it defines it and says, prayer is this. This is the definitive definition or instruction. Or we know that Christ had his model, but it's kind of the concept of prayer. And we said that prayer in the Bible is how it is introduced or how it is taught, that it is always a person, a believer, speaking to, communicating directly to God. That it is more than meditation. It's not just meditation. It's not just sitting and thinking on God or feeling. It's not just emotion, though all those things can be involved in prayer. That I can meditate on Scripture, I can meditate on life, and then pray through that. I can have feeling and emotion and then pray that to God. But it is not simply sitting and thinking. It's not simply sitting and I involve my feelings and think about how I feel. It's not just inner assessment, though the world around us and modern culture would kind of define prayer in that way. Scripture is really clear. Everywhere it talks about people praying, everywhere it gives us instruction about how we are to pray. In the Psalms, it talks about crying out to the Lord. It is words. It's the words of our heart, our mind. It could be formed with our mouths. It could be thought in our minds. It can be expressed with our soul and our heart. But it is direct, specific communication to God. It's how the believer, it's the opportunity that God has given us as believers to speak back to Him. And not only is it something He's given us that we have the opportunity to do, it's what He's commanded, it's what He's asked us, it's what He desires that we do. And so as we think about prayer, and we last week we said, if prayer is simply talking to God, why do we struggle to pray? And we think about this. We come back to prayer several times throughout the year. We'll have a sermon or a series on prayer because it is one of the fundamental spiritual disciplines that God has given for us to do. Prayer is not an option. It's not that He says, if prayer works for you or if you're a praying type of person, but that God has the expectation for all believers to pray. In the way that He has given us His Word to speak to us, He has given us prayer to speak to Him, and He set that expectation. Then why? Because if we're being honest, I mean, prayer is one of those things. I mention it often. You mention tonight's sermon, today's sermon is on prayer. Just immediately, sometimes we just, oh, right, prayer. And even, I don't even have to say anything else about it. And we all kind of feel like, I wish my prayer life was stronger. I wish I knew how to pray better. How could I be more effective in prayer? I wish I thought about prayer more. I wish I didn't get distracted in prayer as much. Why is it that we struggle sometimes not just in how we pray, but to pray at all? Regardless of our age, our stage in life, God has instructed all of us, from the youngest of us to the most spiritually immature in the sense that how new we are as believers. It's not something that I think that our prayer life develops over time, but it's not something that it's like, you reach a level 4 Christian and then you can pray. It's not like that. But God has given us all the ability and the expectation to pray. And so there's some things, reasons. Sometimes we say, I don't feel like it. It feels repetitive. I'm just saying the same stuff about the same things in the same way with the same words. Sometimes it's because we can't concentrate. We're distracted. There are human limitations to our prayer. And so this is a concept that we talked about last week. How can we use the Scripture to pray to the Lord? And we're going to get to that in a second, but to remind us, it's just simply looking at Scripture. We gave some examples. We looked at the Psalms and we said, we look at Scripture, I read a verse, and I can rephrase that into my own life. It's not changing the word of Scripture, it's just making it about me. We gave the example of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God, thank you for being my shepherd. God, thank you that you always give me guidance. And I know that you give me guidance from your word. That's how you want to direct me. But more than that, you also control my life when I don't always see it. And I know that you as my shepherd means I'll never be in a place of need. I will never be abandoned because you are the great shepherd. And we give you an example of just phrase it in my own words. And then we also said you could pray through Scripture by looking at a verse or looking at a passage and then praying what it brings to my mind. And that I'm not necessarily in that moment looking to interpret Scripture, exposit, or study Scripture in a deeper understanding, but I'm using Scripture as a guide to pray. We walk through those in a number of ways, examples, but tonight I kind of want to double back. Some of us that maybe weren't here, or just to kind of relay, or sometimes you can learn a concept. You ever watched a video on how to do something? And you know, I go to work on my car, on my truck. It's a part that you don't have to replace all that often, but it's not that difficult. But you look it up and you're like, oh yeah, I could do that. And then you get under the car, you're over the engine, and you're looking at the part. You know, you watched the video like, you know, at least once, maybe twice. And you're like, I can do that. And then you go look at it, you're like, wait, this looks different than it did in the video. And then I got to go back to it and watch it again or follow the instructions. And eventually I get it, but it takes some time to kind of reemphasize and walk through what's important, what I need to look at here. So we want to do that with this thought of praying Scripture tonight, kind of double back and think on it. I'm going to ask you, it's not to be embarrassing or anything like that. If you did, that's great. If you didn't, I don't hold it against you. It's not something that you are required to do, but I think it's helpful. How many of you sometime this past week have prayed through a passage of Scripture? Anyone? All right. Many of you throughout the room. And that's a great thing. And I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't done it, to try it again and to walk through it. I've been doing this even myself. At different points in my life, I've done it more, but it's been so helpful for me personally. So I want to share more of it with you. Notice, if you would, let's look at first the thought of this, the nature of prayer. Why is praying Scripture? Why is praying with Scripture as our guide? Why is praying with the Bible in my lap or on my desk or beside my bed? Why is it helpful to pray with the Bible right there and before my eyes? And I think that one of the things that will help us understand that is thinking about the nature of prayer itself. And so notice, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, and let's look at a couple verses. The passage in Corinthians is actually talking about tongues. It's talking about speaking in tongues. It's talking about praying in tongues. His tongues were a spiritual gift that God gave the early church because of language differences, and they didn't have the entire word of God yet. And so how am I supposed to preach to somebody when I don't know their language? And God gave a miraculous gift in which people could communicate and other people could understand what they were saying, but then the church began to be a little confused by that and kind of mimic it and use it in a way that God didn't intend it without God's Spirit. And so then it had to be addressed, and they're looking at it from prayer. Now, we're not talking about that particular topic tonight, but it addresses it in terms of prayer, and it helps us have an understanding of prayer. Look at chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14. Look down at verse 14. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth." It says, "But my understanding is unfruitful." And again, it's just speaking about tongues. He's saying there is something. So what do we see here in verse 14? The prayer involves the Spirit, yes. My spirit prayeth. But then look at verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. The word understanding there is literally, it's kind of the same word for mind or discernment or to think. So he says both here are things. He says, I pray with my spirit. We are spiritual beings. But he says, I also pray with my mind, with my understanding, meaning there is something structured to this. There's something intelligible about prayer. Prayer is not just in a moment of rage or fear or anger or joy or gladness. It's not just, I feel something. It's not that. It's more than that. It's that my spirit communicates to God, but that it communicates with understanding, with a certain mind. And so you have that there. Prayer is to be with the Spirit and understanding, fueled by who I am as a person, my inner man, that prayer comes not just from my lips. Prayer does not only come from my brain. It is my person. It is me speaking to God from my deepest part. But it is not just this thing that we can't access or this inner man that we don't understand, but that prayer is inward, my spirit, but it is also my understanding. It is my mind, because prayer combines, you have it there, prayer combines multiple elements of our human nature. We are multifaceted creatures. You have a body, but you're not just a body. You're not just a shell. You have a physical aspect to your life, but you're not just the physical. You have a mental aspect. You have the capacity for thoughts that is formed from the combination of your body, but then also there's your spirit, and there's this mind that kind of goes between those two things. And the Bible teaches we are body, soul, heart, mind, spirit, that there is multiple aspects to our lives. And prayer combines all of those things because God, we said the last couple weeks that God is a spirit. Those that worship must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we're worshiping God, we're praying to God with not just my words and not just my thoughts. My prayer is not dependent on the length or how many words I speak. Prayer is not just dependent on how well I form and structure thoughts so that God can understand. It's fueled by my spirit. It's what my inner man is. It's my heart speaking to God. But it's a combination of all of those things. That when I pray, I'm communicating with God, and the fear of my heart, the joy of my heart, the confidence and strength of my heart and my soul and spirit are going toward the Lord, but it's done through the mind also and body that He's given me. Prayer not just combines the human nature, but notice prayer also challenges multiple aspects of the human nature. Let me give you an example. Because there are times I know what I feel inside, but I struggle to be able to phrase and say it. There are times where I desire to pray, but my body is tired and fatigued and it's struggling. There are times that I want to pray and my body is ready to pray, but my mind is distracted from prayer because I'm racing and the fears of my mind. And so prayer, I say sometimes in my spirit, I just don't feel like praying. I'm discouraged. But you can also say sometimes in my body, I'm tired. I don't feel like praying because I'm fatigued. Or there's other times you say, I can't pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to think. And prayer is fueled by not just our spirit, but by the Holy Spirit that helps us to be able to pray at times when we don't have the words. To be able to speak sometimes when we don't understand, even in our own hearts. And so prayer challenges multiple aspects of our nature, of our human nature. And praying Scripture helps us because it guides each part of those things. We know that God's Word changes our heart, directs us in the right way when our heart doesn't know how to feel. It helps position our mind when our world is spiraling around us. It gives me confidence to have the mind of God when I pray because God's Word does tell me how I should think. God's Word does give me surety and truth. And that God's Word can actually help the physical part of my body when I'm tired or when I'm distracted. Continually going to God's Word gives me some structure in it. Think about some of these verses that we talked a little bit about last week. The words, John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you. So Jesus says, my words are spirit and life. So it makes sense we could pray God's Word because they're filled with spirit and life. Romans 8:26-27. Turn there with me. Romans 8:26-27. There are moments that I pray not just enabled by my own brain or my spirit or my body, but by God's Spirit. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives in me as a believer. See, when I pray, I'm not just praying from my own spirit. I now, as a believer, am praying moved and empowered by God's Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit, you kind of picture it as an intercessor. It's God gives us, we cannot pray on our own, of our own flesh and body and mind, and even our sinful heart, but God puts into us something that then helps us to pray. You ever been with someone that, you had a conversation with somebody and someone that has full understanding of a concept or a topic, and then there's someone that has no understanding of a concept or topic, and you've ever watched them try to talk about whatever it is, it's just not getting through. You have the brain of the side that doesn't understand how no one gets this, and then you've got the other side that's never been introduced to it, and they don't understand how to even start, and there's sometimes somebody comes in the middle and says, I get it. I'm logical. And I understand where you are, but I also understand here, and kind of what he means by this is, what she means by this is, and here's how you can help them understand. It says the spirit that God puts into us helps us understand what we do not have the capability of on our own. Likewise, the spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the spirit maketh intercession for us. It says, even with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Notice, according to the will of God. We pray through God's Spirit, but with our own spirit. But prayer is not just the Spirit. It's not just the part of us that is inward. Notice, we gave you the example last week of the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus prays, when Jesus gives the example of prayer, he says, when you pray, pray like this. Was it unintelligible? No, it wasn't. Was it just random ramblings, though God can use those? No, it wasn't. It was calculated. It was thoughtful. Did he just yell in emotion? Did he just put words together and just shout hallelujah? Though that could be fine. You could communicate with God that way. No, Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way, with clear thought, with clear submission to God's will, with clear desires communicated with clear words. So that prayer is spirit, but also it's our mind and it's our understanding. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, one more verse, and we're going to get into the practical aspect. Ephesians 6, and look at verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. I think we read this last week, but notice it's direction for us in prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication. Notice this, in the Spirit. Now, I know we teased a couple weeks ago about in Baptist or Pentecostal, charismatic, and when we say do something in the Spirit, it can mean different things to different people. But here he's not just saying make your prayers in the Spirit, meaning something that's beyond your control and something that you just kind of wait for to just kind of happen. No, notice, with all prayer, it says in the Spirit, but then notice this, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and notice supplication for all saints. There's some specific things here. And for me, he says, pray for me, that an utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. So what does Paul say? He says, pray in the Spirit, but pray some specific things. Spirit and order, both things together. So our human mind and nature sometimes can be so affected by our sin that even prayer is not something we can just do of our own strength. We need God's guidance. And that's why praying the Scripture is a great place to kind of start and have an effective and sincere life of prayer. I mentioned last week, when we pray the Scripture, we just keep going over this. What does it mean? Just simply pray Scripture, rephrased, to be my own life. A good place to start is the Psalms. We'll talk about it in a second. And then pray the thoughts that Scripture prompts. Pray through the Bible. It's not a replacement for Bible study. It's not a replacement for Bible understanding. What God communicates in His Word, He communicates as He has inspired. It has a meaning. It's not just, well, I read this and this makes me think of this, so this is what this must mean. But no, we seek God's meaning in His Word, but there are moments that just to help guide my prayer, I can pray with what God's Word brings to my mind. It's a way to think and pray biblically. It keeps us grounded. So I want you to notice some things in the benefits of praying Scripture. And I'm just going to, we listed them out. I just want you to think about them practically. We gave the examples last week. We took a few different passages. We read a couple verses from each of those different psalms. How do I pray a psalm? When I go to a psalm that teaches me to pray for strength, God is my refuge. God, you are my refuge. In this moment, I need shelter. There's something attacking my life spiritually. God, there's a need in my life. I was thinking about this week, I believe it's Psalm 20. For example, Psalm 20 says, first line, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary. And if you were to pray that for my own life, God, hear me. Today is a day of trouble. I'm having some issues today, Lord. And here's what they are. It's It's my physical body is having trouble. My finances, there's something that surprised me. The trouble in my heart, the fear, my mind is going 1,000 thoughts a minute, and every direction that it goes, some other part of the mental fabric of my mind comes unwound. God, today is a day of trouble, and I need you to defend me. Lord, send the help from the sanctuary. Lord, I need heavenly help today. So those are thoughts. We know how to kind of pray from Scripture. We know the general concept, but how will it help us? Notice a few just practical thoughts. Number one, it helps me begin praying. And notice you often don't know where to start or where to prioritize. Have you ever had a difficult conversation with someone? And like you had all these thoughts about how it was going to go and what it was going to be about and what it's going to be like, but as you got closer, there's a lot of stress about that conversation. And you know, in general, this is going to be an hour-long or more conversation. It's going to be a long conversation. There's a lot to talk about. But have you ever noticed how the first words sometimes are like, that's the hardest part. How do we get into this? How do I bring this up? How do I talk about this? And it's that way often between people, but it can often be that way before God. Like, I know he already knows it. Like, I already know, God already knows what's happening in my life. He knows what happened to me today. So, like, I mean, how do I start even praying about that? God knows my heart better than I know my heart. So how do I even just start to pray about this topic? And often I find myself, as in here, a little bit praying this week, and you go to pray, and you're just like, God, help this thing, this stuff. Like, God, help. And that's kind of where we get stuck. Or we say, here's the topic, here's the issue, here's what's happening. And then we're really not sure what more to say about it. And God can use those prayers. He hears those prayers. He knows the groanings that we can't even utter in our mind, but I should stay. There is something to staying with God in prayer. Pray without ceasing. So how can I stay with God in prayer if all I can really think is like help, and that's as far as I get? So looking at Scripture helps me kind of jump in. Knows where to start. It removes the temptation for performance or self-reliance. Have you ever thought about how you're going to pray and what you're going to say to God? Have you ever thought about a person? How am I going to start this conversation with this person that leads the conversation where I want it to go? And you calculate, and you think through it, and you prepare. Have you ever done that with prayer? Like, how can I think about praying and say, this is a good phrase. I've been thinking about that. God will really like that zinger tonight, you know, when I bring that up to him. There's a difference, though. God knows your heart and mind, and he's with you in every present moment of your day and every second. So rather than me coming up with the words and self-reliance to convince God of something in prayer, I can go to Scripture and today's a rough day. How should I start this prayer? God, you hear me in the day of trouble. Today is one of those days. It's a place to start. Notice, it also helps me not just start praying, it helps me keep praying. I mentioned a moment ago where you just said, there's so many distractions. I begin to pray, and when I pray about, ever start praying about a circumstance, and something you've never thought about the circumstance, and it comes into your mind, and you were going to God for strength, you were going to God in prayer for help, you were going to God in dependence and reliance, but then something else came to mind, and in actuality, the way you ended your prayer was not confidence and rest in the Lord, but worry about something you hadn't thought about before. Praying through Scripture can help with that. Because if I pray Psalm 20, Lord, you hear me in a day of trouble, and then I work through the next verse, I work through the next phrase. God, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Lord, work your way in this situation. We will rejoice in thy salvation. God, as you fix this, I'm going to give you praise. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Lord, I will make your name known. God, get glory. Help people to know that you're in control from... And it helps just guide and let me continue in prayer because I'm not going to exhaust the Bible. Not just that, it helps me effectively pray in any circumstance or any moment. There's some times where you feel like your mental fortitude cannot overcome the shock of a situation. And I don't even know what to say. You know, I'm going to go, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The next phrase. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. God, this is your world, and that means this is your circumstance. You founded the seas. You have established the floods. You're in control of this. You can go to any of them. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God, you know I'm afraid in this situation, but so it helps me effectively pray through my circumstance when my mind is blank. It helps protect my prayer from religious monotony, because often routines become ruts. And if I find that in my prayers I'm saying the same thing over and over and over again. There's a story of a man who taught his daughter to pray, and each night before they laid down, Lord, and now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I, you know, and whatever the ending of the prayer is. And she looked up at him one night and said, you think we've said that enough? You think he just knows and he's got it by now? Like, he knows. Why do we have to keep saying this? There's a story of another little boy who his dad was teaching him to pray. He used the same phrase every night. And, you know, back in the day, he had the little Walkman recorders. And so one night he prayed that same prayer. He just recorded it. And then the next night he just hit play. Just the word. He just needs to hear it again. I figured I'd spare myself the time. That's not what prayer is about. And so we protect ourselves from monotony and just brainlessly. When I say God's name and call out to Him, but He's not really in my heart or in my mind, praying Scripture helps. It helps keep my prayers fresh and my mind engaged. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick. It is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so when I go to battle in prayer armed with God's Word, then I'll never be left ineffective. It helps promote humility and submission in my heart toward the Lord. Have you ever prayed and argued with the Lord? I think there's some scriptural examples of people praying that way in Scripture. You read through the book of Job. There's times where Job kind of combats and he's just expressing his heart. But you ever found yourself praying? You're wondering, am I really praying in a biblical way? Am I praying in submission to the Lord? Well, going to Scripture, Lord, you are in control. Lord, you are the strength of my life. You are the shield of my soul. And it brings me into submission. You are in control. The earth is yours and everything in it. So it helps promote prayer as an act, which was what it should be. Prayer is dependence on God, devoted to dependence when I pray. So here's where I want to get tonight. And this is where we're going to kind of finish up. This is where we're going to start. Next week, we'll talk about praying the broader scope of Scripture. And we'll talk about praying Scripture kind of as groups. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. But here's the thing, just to start. You say, well, honey, this is so different than anything I've done. Again, I'm not trying to teach you some novel concept or say you have to do this a certain number of times a day. It's a help. It's a resource. It's when people have given this to others and it helps them, it's something we should look at. So the book of Psalms, literally the book of praises, Psalms are inspired by God for the purpose of singing and praying. People were commanded, the Israelites would literally sing these at certain times when they would travel, when they come into Jerusalem, in certain moments and feasts and routines of their year. It's as if God is to say, I desire praise from you, but in your sin you don't even really know how to praise me, so I'm going to help you with that too. And God knows that we struggle to pray, and so He says, I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to give you a whole book to help you with that. And it is literally a book that is designed to help us give God's words back to Him and to be changed by them. And so it's helpful to have a systematic approach. Have you ever done that? You know, whatever the circumstance is, different psalms could be different ways. You open and you're just like, I need to pray to the Lord. I need a psalm for the day. The day of my own failure. I've mistreated someone. I spoke ill of someone. I gossiped. I had greed. I had lust in my heart. I had these different things. I struggled with the sin today. And I look and I find, oh, the Lord's mercy endures forever. That's a good psalm for how my heart feels. But let's say that I'm flipping through on the same day, you know, the Lord conquers and defeats all those that sin against Him. No. I don't want to read that psalm today. But when someone sins against me, that's a good psalm for me today, you know. And so rather than just picking and choosing what I think might be helpful, it's good to pray through the psalms systematically. You know, there's 150 of them. If you were to just start praying through one psalm a day, in 5 months, you'd pray through the psalms. And then journal it as you go. As you get to Psalm 1, what did this really promote in your heart for prayer. I'm going to write down for, this is it. Psalm 1's good for guidance and for grounding me to what really matters in this world. And so in a time where I'm distracted, in a time where my life is kind of upside down, I'm going to go back to Psalm 1 and pray through it again. Psalm, you fill in the blank, whatever song, this is good for refuge. This is good when someone sins against me. This is good when my heart is questioning. This is good. You can jot down and kind of journal so that as you look back through and you need a psalm in a certain day, you know how God has led you through it before. If you wanted to pray through the psalm in a month, you could pray 5 psalms a day. Just walk through 5 psalms throughout your day. Maybe 1 in the morning, 1 or 2 in the afternoon, 2 in the evening, whatever it may be. But it's good to pray through them. One person recommended, instead of praying them in order, you could add 30 to every psalm. So you pray Psalm 1, and the next day you pray Psalm 31, then you pray Psalm 1, then you pray Psalm 31, then you pray Psalm 61, you make your way through, and then you just restart. Every time you get to the end, there's no more, you just restart. And it adds, but to pray systematically helps, rather than just a topic or a need of the moment. Then you have this question about, what about the imprecatory psalms? Look, turn to Psalm 137, verse 9. Psalm 137, verse 9. How do I pray when I come to a verse like this? Psalm 137, verse 9. Talking about the judgment of the Lord. And happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Well, what in the world am I to do with that? Look at Psalm 58, verse 6. Another similar vein or another similar psalm. Psalm 58, verse 6. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. He's talking about the wicked that have sinned against him. Verse 8, a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away. Like a snail that gets salt poured on it and smushed. Like the untimely birth of a woman that they may not see the sun. I mean, he's praying some fierce things here. So, is it that when I come across a prayer, a psalm like this, that I should think, my boss has been a dirtbag for the last few weeks. Break his teeth in his mouth, Lord, this week. Do I think that we should pray that way? I don't think that's what the Spirit of God is promoting. It would struggle to match up with love thy neighbor as thyself. So how are we to pray? Though there are moments where we can pray that God, I don't know if it's going to be this way, but Lord, defeat. There's someone in this world, think about the news that we watch, there's someone in this world that they are sinning, they are egregiously rebellious against you, defeat their sin. I think we could pray this strongly against certain sins of our own lives. God, I have struggled with this inner sin. Lord, I need you to destroy it like someone beating a corpse, like someone beating someone to death. God, I need you to destroy and have victory over sin in my life, over Satan and death and hell. And I know that you will have that one day. But you say, how do we pray that about people in our lives? Well, here's something. God, he's praying here for God's wrath. God poured his wrath out on who? On Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know that far worse than the breaking of teeth or the melting of a snail, your wrath poured on Jesus Christ, your Son, was the greatest suffering anyone could ever endure in this world. So Lord, have victory. This person has been sinning against me. Have victory in their life by the wrath you've already poured out on Jesus Christ, and by mercy save and change them. There's ways you can pray through those without praying for their demise. Pray with pure motive for God's glory. And then look at the last thing. Let the psalm serve as a Bible in summary. Every doctrine is in the psalm. Every emotion is there. Every human name. And so you can pray this over yourself. It's multi-purpose. You can pray this. I can open and pray Psalm 56 for myself. Be merciful, O God, for man would swallow me up. He is fighting daily, oppressing me. My enemies would swallow me up. I can pray that for myself. I can pray Psalm 51. Have mercy on me according to your loving kindness. To the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my sins. I can pray that about myself, but you know what? I can pray about someone else too. You ever notice it's hard to know how to pray for people when they go through struggles? And I can open up a psalm and pray it for my son, my daughter, my wife, my coworker, my unsaved neighbor, for the Christian that is rebelling against God and backslidden from Him in sin, from the one that needs to turn to the Lord. I can pray it for others, and I can also pray it corporately. We can pray it for each other as a church. God, this is what we want. This is what we see in You. And they're good guides for us to do. And so I'm going to ask you this week to put it into practice. We ask you like we try it once. I'm going to encourage you. Maybe start with Psalm 1. Start with Psalm 30 and walk your way through this week. And I've asked some questions here in your notes. And I want you to answer them honestly. Pray through a psalm. Like anything, when you try new, you say, I've never done that before. It's not exactly how I pray. I'm just encouraging you just to try it. It's not that it's a replacement for all forms of what we may say conventional prayer, but you may be surprised at how it can stir your affections for Christ, stir your affections in prayer. Pray through a psalm and then answer the questions honestly. When you prayed through the passage, how did it help with the distractions of your mind? What did you notice about your prayer? Did you notice that you weren't just praying the same words about the same things, but the theme of your prayer? It's the same topic, but I prayed it in a different way. How did time pass? How did you feel as you prayed through a scripture? Were you surprised at how quickly time passed? And be honest with yourself. And then analyze and evaluate how we can be praying, walking with the Lord together. I encourage you to do that this week. In fact, let's ask Him to help us tonight to do that. And then we'll spend the last few minutes in prayer together. Lord, we come to You tonight recognizing that we know You've given us the opportunity, the expectation and responsibility to pray, but often it is something we struggle with. We live in a world that is not a world of prayer. The natural inclination of the human heart is not to go to God, but rather to run from You. And so, Lord, would You use Your word to guide us toward You for Your name's sake? Would You help us tonight to pray? And help us to use this tool, this thought. You've given us a whole Bible that is Your mind and Your words. And Lord, we can be formed by them and fashioned by them. And we can even pray by them, knowing that it will lead us to pray according to Your will. So Lord, we know, we read, there's a whole list of psalms and verses in our notes that show us that psalms are addressed to You. And so we can use Your words to pray back toward You. Would You help us to be praying people? Because it doesn't just change Your mind or change the things of our lives, it changes us when we properly and passionately live lives of prayer. Lord, help us be a praying people. You change us, revive us, bring us, restore, as the Psalm 51 says, restore the joy of salvation. And do it by the relationship of prayer. We pray this in the name of Jesus. For it's His sake and His glory we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to close tonight. We sang our extra song a little earlier this evening, so we won't close with a song. We'll just close. We haven't done our prayer groups in a couple weeks, and so we want to get back to that tonight. And wherever you are around the room, you want to slide over and pray with somebody near you or as a group, or you're going to pray as a family. It doesn't have to be men or women tonight as those groups, but maybe just somebody, a few of you that are sitting nearby. And don't be shy and end up praying by yourself, or maybe look around, find someone to pray with tonight, whoever that may be. You have some updates in your prayer list, some things you can pray about. And Drew Pegleg Hickson over here has torn his Achilles, and so pray for wisdom as he moves forward and thoughts on recovery and how to treat that. And, thankful for all his work and help. He's getting ready for VBS in a couple weeks, and so we need to jump in and help him however we can, because running around is not an option right now at the moment. So ask if you got a little bit of free time that week before, especially. I know that'll be a big help to him as they get ready and set up the set and decorate and all that. And so let's not leave Drew to himself that week. So offer to help him and be praying for him. And then a couple other updates. As you see down, Brother Smith's, Ken Smith's brother, his sister-in-law, Blair, and you see an update there. She has, her condition has kind of worsened with her cancer, and we're praying for an extension of life. That's kind of the way they've asked for prayer. So we want to do that. Our kids are going to the wilds next week. A number of our young people are going to be there at team camp, so pray for them and for our church, for the outreach of our church, praying for the Spanish church and all that are involved there, and a number of others that you see that have needs too. So let's pray over these tonight, and I'll open, and whenever your group is done praying, you can fellowship and then be dismissed at that time. Lord, bless now even the prayers of your people as we try to phrase the burdens of our heart and carry them to you. Give us, Lord, your spirit and understanding to pray by your spirit for your glory. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, you can pray and then you'll be dismissed.